Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the punching bag of free speech because you come in here and you want to say something. You're frustrated because you can't say anything, and so you just start punching away at that bag. Maybe that's an analogy. But go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, this is our Monday show. We have with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. The punching bag, because... Actually, why was that in my mind? Because I say whatever just happens to be in the top of my mind. If I'm driving by a flaming wreckage of an automobile, then RBN is the flaming wreck of free speech, and that's happened before. But white people are kind of like the punching bag, and I'm just going to give one little example. My internet was going kind of slow earlier today, and I was trying to check my bank balance, and of course, anytime you load up, I don't care what kind of website it is, you've got the obligatory photograph of Negroes that has to load first, and then you can, you know, go check your bank balance. But first, you've got to look at a picture of Negroes. That's seems to be how it is in the United States, and it's been like that for a while. And does it have a psychological impact? Obviously, the idea is, this is not your country, white man. That seems obvious to me. But you have a video, one of your current videos that's out, and you're talking about something similar, not just that it's not your country, but you're what's wrong with the country, white man. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, recently, the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, released a video or a campaign. It's a campaign. And the campaign is called Mate, but it's not pronounced mate. It's pronounced mate. So essentially what that is sort of when a group of blokes get together and they're having a drink or playing some computer games or watching the footy or doing something as a group, it tends to be the case that if one guy does something that is socially unacceptable, the group will say, mate, what are you doing? And that's where this comes from. So there is this video or campaign called Mate. So it's M, three A's, and then a T-E. So the exaggerated pronunciation of the word mate. And basically, in a nutshell, I've done a video on this. It's up on my Odyssey and it's up on my BitChute. Now, obviously, this is a radio show, so you can't see the actual footage, so I'll have to describe it to you. It's a multiracial group of friends in Britain's capital, London. Now, as a bit of background, the white British make up just 37% of the population in London. And we'll come back to that later. So there's this multiracial group of friends and they're sat and they're doing a bit of computer gaming, probably going to grab a takeaway. And they're all discussing different things. They're discussing things that involve women. And one of the group of friends, the white guy, typically the white guy, he looks white British, is saying things that are misogynistic, that are sort of anti-woman or promoting violence against women. And on the campaign website, there's this sort of interactive movie. So you start watching it. And at any time during the movie, you can push a button that says, mate, and sort of intervene and get the group to sort of tell the white guy off for being misogynistic. Because as I say, it's the white guy who's doing this. He starts playing computer games and he's complaining that in the computer game there's a female referee because I think they're playing a football game, something like FIFA. And then he complains about women playing computer games. And then at some point he complains about a woman who rejected him and he speaks violently about her. And apparently throughout this video, I didn't watch the whole thing, I couldn't get through it, it's nauseating. There's 270 different narrative choices. So there's a lot of narrative choices there. And they all involve you clicking the button that says, mate, so somebody steps in and disciplines or speaks out on behalf of women or puts their mate in his place. But the rub is, it's the white British man being obnoxious, being misogynistic, and it's his multiracial gang or group of friends or whatever you want to call them, whose duty it is to step in and say, mate, and put him in his place. And this is something I find all rather interesting. And I find it rather interesting because in a city where you have moped muggings, where you have knife crime, machete crime, inter-gang warfare based around gangs that promote something called drill rap, apparently the problem is the white man. The white man's now the minority, but he's the problem in London. And he has to be pulled into line by his, you know, multiracial group of friends, as I said earlier. And I see this, and I'm sat there, sort of, I tapped out. I couldn't do the interactive movie. I really just could not be bothered. I watched a clip of it. I sat to go through it all to write my video. I thought, look, this is going to be gold. I'm going to essentially have a load of different things that I can talk about, but I couldn't be bothered. It was just too nauseating. And it, with 270 different narrative responses, it would have probably taken me all day to go through it. And I couldn't be bothered replaying it and trying to find them all, trying to unlock them all. You know, it wasn't really my thing. So I watched a little clip of it and I made this video. But it got me thinking, as I was watching it, I thought, this seems like deja vu. I've seen this all before. And in fact, I had. Just over a year earlier, the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, same city, same mayor, same campaign. But this time it was called Have a Word. Exactly the same. Except for this one's called Mate, and the older one was called Have a Word. And obviously, both are pushing the same narrative, that men need to police each other. This one's called Mate, so you're meant to, you know, grab your mate and say, come on, mate, you're being a bit of a fool here, you know, this is no good. Now, that's the first thing. The earlier one, though, is called Have a Word. Same thing. You're meant to grab your friend and say, look, you're stepping out of line. But the thing that unites these two adverts is not just that they're very similar in that sense, but they carry exactly the same racial subtext. So I Googled the original Have a Word advert. And what did I find? Well, again, a multiracial group of friends or a multiracial gang, whatever you want to call them. They're in a shop, looks like a corner shop or a mini market. And one of the guys, the white British one, he is being awfully obnoxious towards women. Really bad. He's harassing this one woman. She's visually uncomfortable. She goes to sit by the bus stop. He follows her out there. He's going on and on and on at her. And then it focuses in on his black friend. And his black friend is stood in front of the mirror. And it's almost sort of evocative of conscience. The black guy's looking at himself as if to say, are you going to do something? Are you going to man up? Are you going to have a word? Which obviously he does. He then puts his hand on his white mate's shoulders and says, enough is enough. What you're doing is toxic. So this is two advert campaigns, one run last year, one run this year, almost identical, with exactly the same racial subtext. And we've seen this before, not just here in London, not with these two ad campaigns both run by Sadiq Khan. But we saw it with the Gillette advert. You might remember.
Right. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, you bring that up. You go for it, Patrick.
Okay, right. This was about 5 years, 6 years ago when they were having the whole Me Too thing, when that was a giant fad. And so Gillette, maker of razors, and I haven't bought one of their razors since, but maker of razors, they put on this advertisement. And what did it feature? Well, I mean, it featured men behaving badly, but who was behaving badly? It was the white men. I remember one, you know, they were just showing 3 or 4 or 5 second scenes of this and scenes of that. One was, it was supposedly the filming of a sitcom. And there was an attractive black woman dressed up like a maid, and she was kind of bending over a little bit as she was dusting something. She was in like a French maid's costume, and the other actors on stage were, you know, out of her view, but they were looking at her and they were hooping it up and making lewd gestures. And then everybody in the audience, all the white men in the audience, were laughing at this. And then there was later in the ad, there were these two scenes, two, not just one, but two, where there was a white man who's maybe at a party or maybe on a street corner and sees an attractive white woman walk by, and he thinks, oh, I'm going to go talk to her. And he takes a step or two in her direction, and then a black man comes on. In both cases, that black man comes on and says, not cool, not cool. And it was like, you know, it's not enough that this isn't your country anymore. These aren't your women. And you have black men in this Gillette ad going up to white men and saying, not cool. You're not allowed to approach that woman. That's what I remember. Do I remember it correctly?
Yeah, there's part of that advert where a very attractive white girl, white woman, white lady, you know, walking down the street, and a white guy who is actually quite masculine and without sounding homosexual, he's a quite attractive looking guy. He's the kind of guy that you could imagine that if he did walk up to a woman in the street and said, hey, you know, do you want to go for coffee or something, she probably wouldn't be too appalled. She might say yes, you know, because women are kind of like that, aren't they? Women can get awfully offended if the wrong guy comes and says something to her. But if that's the right guy comes and says, so I'll give you an example. There's some really good videos on YouTube, social experiments, we'll call them, where a guy goes up to a really beautiful looking sort of Barbie doll woman who's got, you know, a nice short skirt on and her hair's all done and her boobs are pushed up and she looks, you know, the part. She's a 9 out of 10, maybe a 10. And she's playing on her phone and the guy walks up a bit nervous and sheepish and he's like, hey, you know, you're a good looking woman. You know, I find you pretty damn attractive. Do you fancy maybe me and you, you know, going for coffee or something like that? And she's like, I don't think so, mate. You know, off you trot, little boy, not putting up with that. And he walks away and there's a Lamborghini parked just out of shot, sort of an orange Lamborghini or something that's pretty eye-catching, sort of a supercar in a crazy colour. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to go then. I'll see you later. And he, you know, presses the key and the Lamborghini lights flash to, you know, indicate the car is now unlocked. And he goes to get in his Lamborghini, at which point this girl who's just sort of dismissed him is a bit like, ooh, he's got a Lamborghini. But, you know, I said about the drink, I didn't really want it. Well, all of a sudden, I'm quite thirsty. Do you fancy going for that coffee? Me, you? You know, because that's what women are like. So with the Gillette advert, the first thing that sort of struck me at being ridiculous was this guy's quite a good-looking fellow. He's quite masculine. He's the kind of guy that if he did walk up to a woman and say, hey, you look pretty hot, I wouldn't mind taking you for coffee. He's the kind of guy that might get the coffee with the girl. But he steps in to say something to the girl, or maybe not. You know, maybe, you know, it's sort of implied that maybe he's going to do more than say something to her. Maybe he's going to grab a bum. Maybe this is going to be a sexual assault in broad daylight. But anyway, before he can do anything, whether it's invite her for a coffee or, you know, squeeze her bum, a black guy steps in and he goes, whoa, not cool. So this black stranger has to step in and come to the rescue of this attractive white woman and rescue her from an attractive white man. He's not some sort of creepy weirdo, he's an attractive white guy. And all of this seems really, really nonsensical. Because I can imagine that, I mean, I am a white guy and I've been to clubs and bars. And generally speaking, white guys are pretty, you know, respectful. White guys, you know, if they get a bit frisky, you know, they might give a girl a tap on the bum or something. But I don't see white guys as the high risk group within our society. But all of these adverts, whether they're produced by local government, Mayor of London, whether in America, in the UK, produced by big corporations, they all carry the same racial subtext, that white men are the threat to women, that women are under threat from white men. White men are misogynistic, they can't keep their behavior in control, you know, when they see something they want, they have to get it. They don't have any form of morality. They're basically like beasts of the field that when they see, you know, the creature they want to hump, they just go for it. And if they get rejected or if they get told that they're not, you know, they're not wanted, they can't deal with that either and go completely bonkers. Now, I find all this quite insulting. Firstly, if all these adverts had a racial subtext that was reversed from the subtext they have, that it was a black male who was acting in a really misogynistic way, grabbing girls' bottoms or, you know, chasing them down the street or saying what he wanted to do to her, and a white man had to police that black male. Well, I can tell you this, if any advert was produced in that vein, with the black guy as the bad guy, the threat to women, and the white guy being the savior character, the one who has to discipline him and impart morality to him, whichever company or government or advertising firm produced that advert, they'd be paying reparations, wouldn't they? They'd be paying reparations to some racist charity, and that'd be that. There'd be an absolute stink about it. The advert would be shelved. The company or the individuals behind it or the people who funded it, they'd all be dragged off. They'd be dragged off to, you know, ADL headquarters for a special meeting with Jonathan Greenblatt or the Southern Poverty Law Center headquarters, you know, for some re-education, for an important conversation. There'd be apologies. And fundamentally, there'd be several million donated to anti-racist charities or groups that educate people on racial inequality, etc., etc. So these adverts couldn't be made the other way round, because if they were, there'd be a massive stink. And that basically tells you one thing. The only people on the planet who, by the establishment, can be stereotyped across the board in that negative way are white people. We are always going to be the bad guy, regardless of what the narrative is. It could be, you know, violence against women, theft, I don't know, creepy behavior, anything. But we're always going to be the bad guy. That is now the status quo. The white man is de facto always going to be the antagonist in any piece of media that's produced like this.
Yeah, it's so persuasive. It's everywhere, all around. So I, you know, I started off by talking about just, you know, I want to look at my bank balance, but everywhere you look, it's pictures of this, in the United States, advertised. I mean, I guess I've heard people like Kevin McDonald say that if you were an alien and you came down to the United States and just started looking at billboards or TV ads or magazines, you'd think it's a majority black country, because, I mean, that's what they portray. And so we know that they portray this. And, like, I don't think personally there was, like, a moment in time where there was a decision made somewhere that's, oh, let's start humiliating white people by with TV advertisements. But certainly it's happened. I don't think there was a single decision, but maybe there was a bunch of decisions here and there, and it's just become over the top. And then, of course, it was accelerated 3 years ago during the Summer of Love, following St. George Floyd's being slain by the evil white policeman dragon, whatever. It's so pervasive. And, you know, question I have is, you know, some people might say, oh, well, okay, it's, you know, these are just ads. People don't pay attention to ads. But really the question is, to what extent do these really have an impact? Do they have a deep psychological impact on people? How are white people, or in this case specifically white men, looking at themselves?
People are getting stupid, and now there's proof. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. This year's spring edition of Intelligence Online reported on IQ tests of 18 to 60-year-olds. The online magazine has been doing this study for quite some time, and this year's report was the first time that the average IQ of Americans dropped. Usually, the average IQ went up 3 to 5 points every decade. This time it went down. Well, look at the age range. 18 to 60-year-olds. Anyone under 48 was educated entirely under the Federal Department of Education. Those who predate the Department of Education are aging out of the study, skewing the average. Do we really need any more evidence that government, especially the federal government, should not be involved in educating our young people? Instead of critical thinking, young people are being taught sexuality. Logic and reason have become political correctness. History is now critical race theory. This is starting to look a lot like the plot from the movie Idiocracy. And if you own a firearm, then you need carry inserts. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market and save another 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cibus Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
To what extent do these really have an impact? Do they have a deep psychological impact on people? How are white people, or in this case specifically white men, looking at themselves? Right. I mean, I'm sure it depends by individual, but, you know, we've got this situation now where amongst young people, you've got huge numbers of young people who don't want to say that they're heterosexual. Right. They want to be some weird pastel color on a rainbow flag. And of course you also have people who want to pretend somehow not to be white, like in the United States, clinging to this, you know, some sort of, family myth about having a Cherokee Indian ancestor somewhere. So to what extent is this impacting, the psychological health of white people? That's my question.
Well, there's two answers to this. The first is, how is it impacting the psychological health of white people directly? And how is it impacting them indirectly? And that's the important thing. Mm. So directly, if you're constantly told you're the bad guy, if you're constantly told that you're evil, if you're constantly told, you know, you're not a good person, or you come from bad stock, I think that has a huge negative effect, or would have a huge negative effect on somebody. I think being told, you know, if you're always told that you're ugly, or you're stupid, or you're undesirable in some way, after a while that whittles you down. that has an effect. Now, I'm not sure exactly what effect that has on people, because everyone's different. If you tell somebody repeatedly that they are, you know, stupid or undesirable or the bad guy, for some people that may lead to depression, that may lead to them being depressed, it may lead them to being introverted, it may cause them to have fewer interactions with people, to cut themselves off. With others, it might cause people to be angry, to be resentful, to be more aggressive. Because if somebody's constantly abusing you and pecking at you, you know, some people do retreat into a corner. They end up it's like with dogs. You see dogs, some dogs that have been repeatedly beaten become extremely timid. They whine, they look scared. You reach your hand out to them to pet them, and they back away shivering because they're expecting to be struck. That's how it affects some dogs. Other dogs who are beaten, you walk into a room and they immediately bare their teeth. They immediately dip their head, raise their back legs and start growling. You hold your hand out to them, they won't back away. They will snap at you and try to bite. So two different animals could have the same negative experiences, but behave in different ways because of those negative experiences. And I'm sure it's pretty much similar with human beings. We're complex creatures. So some white men will become, you know, the introverted, shy, whipped dog. Others will become resentful, aggressive, angry, and just be bristling with rage because of this constant abuse. And then I'm sure between those two poles, they will be an entire spectrum of different responses from white people. But that's how it directly affects white people. I mean, it might cause white people, white men, to not want to approach women. It might lead to a problem of white men saying, you know what, sod this, I can't be bothered. If that's how women see me, if that's how society sees me, I'm going to go home, I'm going to play my computer games, I'm going to watch my movies, I'm going to collect my collectibles, I'm going to drive a nice car, I'm going to go out with the lads on the weekend and play some pool, you know, but I'm not going anywhere near women. That might be the effect for some men, to cash out, to decide that they don't want a relationship. But that's the direct effects. But then there's the indirect effects. And what are the indirect effects? Well, the indirect effects are how people who aren't white males are affected by this propaganda, and how they in turn then treat white males because of this propaganda. So I should imagine that this propaganda will have an effect on women. I should imagine this propaganda will have an effect on non-white men or non-white people in general, that people of color will effectively start viewing white men differently. And all of these things will impact white men. All of these things will have mental effects on them, will make them less confident, will no doubt bring about a situation where white men are less confident or more angry, are treated differently, and it will create a toxic atmosphere, a toxic feeling within society, where white men are blamed for all of the ills. And this essentially reduces white men's capacity to probably find a mate, to breed, to pass on their genetics, to be a dad, which again has a massive impact upon our people's ability to replace themselves.
So, so that's a meaningful distinction there. So there's a direct impact, psychological impact that it has on white people themselves, and then there's this indirect impact on white people via
ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio, and what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Meaningful distinction there. So there's a direct impact, psychological impact that it has on white people themselves, and then there's this indirect impact on white people via people of color, via women who are exposed to the same propaganda and then develop hostile or distrustful or other negative attitudes towards white men as a result of it. Now, sometime in the past week, our wonderful President Biden, he went to Alabama, I guess Mississippi, for the christening, or you wouldn't call it christening, would you? It'd be an inauguration. Christening's too Christian. For the inauguration or dedication of a monument to a 14-year-old black kid named Emmett Till. Now, Emmett Till is almost more or less a household word in the United States. He's one of these names that you associate with the civil rights movement. You might not exactly remember his story, but the story that we're taught is that he was a 14-year-old kid from Chicago who was visiting his relatives in Mississippi and wasn't familiar with Jim Crow, and he wolf whistled at a young white girl and then was promptly lynched. Now, of course, the people who had been were put on trial for the lynching in that court case, and this is 1955, so this is almost 70 years. No, this is almost 70 years ago. The during the court case, the woman who had been subjected to Emmett Till's advances had testified. It was not simply a wolf whistle. This was she was, I guess, working in a shop, and he had come into the shop, and he was grabbing her wrist, he was grabbing her waist, he was saying various lewd things. That was her testimony. Well, I mean, it winds up being maybe he said, and then I don't know, or she said, I don't know how he could say anything because he was gone by then, but she said, they said, type of thing, 68 years ago. And, you know, 68 years ago. Now, just I remember a few years back, this was when what's the guy's name? Colin Flaherty was still alive, and he was still allowed on YouTube. He had a channel called Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. And he would post murders from local news stories about murders of whites by blacks. It happens all the time. I mean, it happens on basically a daily basis. I think on the average, in an average year, there's about 500, 600 murders of whites by blacks, and very, very, very few the other way around. And anything that goes the other way around becomes national news. And in one case, it went to trial, and the black said, "Well, this white guy, I did kill him, but he called me the N-word," and that was a successful defense. So in modern times, a white person calling a black person the N-word is a successful. It is a usable defense against a murder charge, right? And now, but here we're talking about events almost 70 years ago. And, you know, according to the woman, she had been not just verbally, but physically attacked or molested. But, you know, we've got the president of the United States going down and eulogizing the guy 70 years later. I mean, it becomes part of every public school and private school history textbook. It's something that we must never forget. And, you know, the lynchings. Well, lynchings happened to whites and blacks. It was a type of vigilante justice, of frontier justice, which you could say is an unfortunate part of our past. But, I mean, this type of thing went on all over the world. It's certainly not unique to the South or the United States. But to put it into perspective, I mean, since in the 150 years after the Civil War, there were maybe 4,000 lynchings, 4,000 or 5,000, and about 2/3 of them were of blacks. So you had maybe 2,500 to 3,000 lynchings of blacks, something like that. But in the past half dozen years, you've had that many murders of whites by blacks, and these are almost all just kind of random street crime violence. It's not vigilante justice. It's just random murder, and nothing's put into perspective. The violence against whites seems to be justified. It's not a big deal. And people just get away with it. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to kick it back to you for your thoughts.
Well, there's one thing that stands out for me, being, you know, from the UK, and that is that we've had an incredible amount of sexual assaults, rapes, trafficking, and even murders of young, often underage white girls at the hands of men who are largely from the Islamic community or from the Indian subcontinent. Now, these groups that are, you know, collectively referred to as the grooming gangs have been in the media quite a bit. And I ended my video with a number of different collages of perpetrators of these grooming gangs that have committed these horrendous crimes against girls who are overwhelmingly white. So in Britain, it seems odd that when there's been hundreds of thousands of white girls systematically groomed, sexually assaulted, raped, trafficked, and worse by men who are overwhelmingly of migrant descent, yet that is completely ignored whenever these calls are made for men to treat women with greater respect. So that's, for a start, something which flies in the face of the racial subtext of this advert. But also, when you look at a lot of the abuses of women, especially young girls in this country, so female genital mutilation, breast binding, forced marriage, none of those things are actually, you know, pursuits carried out by Western men. Those are pursuits carried out by other ethnic groups, other races, other religions. You know, those aren't things that our people do. Yet here we are, and we've got this video produced, you know, by the Mayor of London's office, and it's all about how terrible white people are, how badly they treat women. And I would say that as racial groups go, one of the most chivalrous, kind, respectful, and decent groups as a whole are white men. And largely speaking, the problem of this abuse of women in Britain is not tied to white men. So not only is this a stereotype, a negative stereotype, but I would say it's actually an inversion of the truth. And that makes it even more nefarious, because it's not just like somebody has come up with a silly negative stereotype which is just based, you know, on an insult or something that's, you know, fantastical or nonsensical. So, you know, if somebody said, you know, we're going to make a silly video about, you know, people who eat poop, and every person in the video who's eating poop is a white person, well, that would obviously be offensive. That would obviously be a negative stereotype. But in reality, no one eats poop, because if you do, you die, because it's toxic. So that's ridiculous. And although it would be insulting, it would be demeaning, and it would be a negative stereotype, it would just be silly. It would be, you know, fantasy. But what you've got here is a negative stereotype that is being broadcast about white people. But it's not something that's fantastical or clearly nonsensical. You know, these things actually do happen. But when they do happen, it's much more likely to be somebody from another ethnic group committing such an offence. And when you look at the numbers of people from migrant communities committing these kind of grooming offences, you can see that it's much more likely, you know, or these communities have a much higher rate of offending when it comes to these kind of anti-female offences, whether it actually be the grooming, or whether it be something like forced marriages or female genital mutilation. Now, I can't say exactly how many cases of female genital mutilation there are in the UK. I don't know. But if I was to hazard a guess and say what the ethnic component to those would be, I would say a minuscule fraction, if any, of cases like that would be perpetrated by men of European descent. These crimes would be perpetrated overwhelmingly, so 99% plus, by men who are of African or in African descent, or who come, you know, have ancestry from the Indian subcontinent. But again, these things, this truth that I'm talking about, is something that is absolutely taboo to talk about. And it's why in Britain, crime statistics by race or ethnicity are things that either aren't recorded or, again, are taboo, are covered up, or not in the public's interest. So, as I say, I think there's multiple things you could break down about these adverts. You know, there is the negative stereotype, but there's also the inversion of what we actually see. And I have never seen a campaign like this that targets, say, you know, the Islamic communities that have carried out these grooming crimes, the grooming of these white girls. And the reason being, no politician, no company, no local authority, no advertising agency would ever dare produce something like that. Because there would be, you know, a huge outcry. It'd be a massive taboo to do so.
So there are these, you know, protected groups, and increasingly protected groups is every group except for straight heterosexual white men or of Christian heritage. Everybody else is a protected group. So if you're going to identify a problem and you want to personify who's behind the problem in some sort of video, some sort of telegraphic or photographic format, well, you need to portray it as a white. So, you know, we have advertisements in the United States. I've seen advertisements for doorbells with cameras on them, right? Cameras and they show somebody trying to break into your house. Well, it's a white man. It's always going to be a white man. They can't portray the black man doing it because that would be a stereotype. Well, of course, it's a stereotype based on statistics. And so, you know, the white man has to fill in for every bad thing that the black person does. And, you know, it goes
beyond
that.
I can give you a great example of that. Can you remember a few weeks ago?
You can give me a great example, and then I'll go beyond that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Can you remember a few weeks or a month ago? We had a situation in Britain, it was maybe a few weeks, a few months ago, where a black man, somebody who was actually from Africa, an African migrant, went on a stabbing spree in the city of Nottingham, killing three people. He started off with a knife, then he hijacked somebody's van, then he started trying to run people over. And when the police commented on this, when this was on different news feeds, I remember the headlines being, a man has been arrested in Nottingham for going on this stabbing spree, you know, three people dead, man arrested. And the image used by many outlets and by the police themselves on Twitter, because they always put a little, you know, image there, that there's always got to be an image with a story, was a picture of a white man in handcuffs. Now, you couldn't see the man's face. You could just see, you know, the hands, the wrists, the handcuffs. But it was it was white hands in handcuffs to illustrate that article. Now, the man that had been arrested was African. He was black. He wasn't white. But the truth didn't matter. And again, even when you're not just, because obviously somebody could say, well, these adverts, they are fictitious, they're fictional settings, they're, you know, sort of a recreation of a gathering in society that never actually happened. It's fantasy, so what are you upset by? It's just a depiction. But even when someone is actually reporting on a real-life crime, they often use a picture to illustrate that crime, which reverses the races of those involved in it.
Mm-hmm. And I remember two or three years ago, there was a teenager who had murdered another teenager and was running from the police. And the police put out a report with a description of that teenager's clothing, which of course people can change their clothes, but neglected to mention that it was a black. That was not part of the description, even though it was known it was black. And by the way, the murdered victim was a white girl. But you know, the thing is, so they withhold this information partly because they don't want to create a negative stereotype about the group that the perpetrator belongs to. So instead, they do their best to create negative stereotypes about a group that had nothing to do with it. And, you know, this is what they do. So you see it, you know, we're talking about these issues of street crime and behavior towards women and whatnot, where the actual bad behavior comes from blacks, it comes from Muslims, but it's portrayed as coming from whites. But, you know, we also see it on a much grander scale with everything that's going on in our society. People are complaining about the war in Ukraine, right? All the wars that go on. Well, this is the corporate military-industrial complex. It's the neocons. If they're complaining about the trannyism.
Sunclash or Tweet, he had his beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Black Adder, his taste is rather odd.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
A corporate military-industrial complex. It's the neocons. If they're complaining about the trannyism and the gayness and the promotion of that, well, this is white liberals and this and that. Well, so, you know, it's white liberals. It's white executives at these corporations. Well, actually, it's Jews. Or they'll say it's the Chinese. They will say, oh, it's the Chinese who are doing this. The Chinese have infiltrated our universities, and they are forcing this Marxism on us. It's the Chinese. Well, no, it's Jews. And so you have it on all sorts of scales. So you have it like at the street crime level, where they're shifting all of the crimes of blacks and portraying them as if they're crimes of whites. And then at the bigger level, who's running society? Well, it's old white men who is running society. No, it's a bunch of Jews who are running society. You know, certainly in the case of who's running society, these efforts have paid off because hardly anybody, it's not just that nobody wants to say who's running society. People actually don't know. And so then that makes me wonder, well, maybe we're used to being adults and having and knowing what's going on. But let's just say you're a 15-year-old and you're at high school. And this is all you've been exposed to during your short life. Do 15-year-olds, do they think that it's really you know, white men who are responsible for all of the crime and violence against women? What would they know? That, again, there's a question.
Well, what would they know?
Actually, we only have a couple minutes, so this.
Well,
I'll
sum this up very quickly.
Wrap it up. Yeah.
For young people, you say, what will they know? Well, all they've ever known is anti-whiteism. All they've ever known is the anti-white narrative. So, you know, what are they going to say? They've been told that their ancestors were colonizers, rapists, slave traders, you know, forced Jews into ovens, you know, beat, raped, and mercilessly extorted the wealth out of indigenous populations all over the world. So you add misogynists to that pile. It's probably the least bad of the stereotypes that I've just reeled off.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they believe that? I think this is part of an anti-white campaign that is so deeply embedded in every institution, every company, every TV production studio, in every social media company. And it leads to this torrent of anti-white bile. So white people are beaten down in every way imaginable. And this is just another aspect of that. It's another part of the anti-white agenda. And for people, not people like myself who was brought up in the 1980s and saw the anti-white agenda begin to grow, but for people who were born into an anti-white world, this would just be par for the course. This would just be the norm. They would probably be shocked if they saw anything other than the anti-white agenda.
Okay. Hey, thank you for joining me, Mark. And people can see your videos on your Odyssey channel. Any other good ways of finding your contact, your content?
Odyssey, BitChute, Gab, and Telegram. Please support me. I say this all the time, but a like, a share, a subscription. It's very easy to do it, but it means a huge deal to me. So if you can do that, I'd be appreciated.
Okay, well, thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.